Bienvenue à toute la belle personne. Welcome to all the beautiful people. Since 1929, when the first cars raced around these twisty streets along the Côte d'Azur, Monte Carlo has held its allure as a racing destination. The sixth event of the F1 season, Le Grand Prix de Monaco, glitters like no other venue, and it's the grand prize of every driver's dream. The Mercedes-Benz pilots, starting in P1 and P2, have each won here once before, as recently as last year for Nico. And now they want to cement their place in history with another visit to the Royal Box. These teammates have no one to race against except each other in this glamorous but unforgiving street circuit. Hometown boy Richie Rich Rosberg is tired of Lewis taking the top step, and their rivalry is fierce. Who will be receiving the big trophy from His Serene Highness Prince Albert II, and who will fall from grace? Versez-moi un verre de champagne, auditeurs, and stay tuned. C'est La Désirée, and this is your F1 Weekly Monaco Grand Prix Racecast. Au revoir, mes amis.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 656. June the 2nd, 2014. Nasser?
This edition of Monaco Grand Prix Podcast is brought to you by Pastis from Pernod Ricard, as in Paul Ricard. And now, back to the Duke of Dijon.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Rosberg-Hamilton tensions. Is it just theater? Kimi says he's just having some bad luck. And how can Marussia be better than Caterham? Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King, and we've got 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on Le Grand Prix de Monaco. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. All is well. We had a major racing weekend over the Memorial Weekend.
Absolutely.
On both sides of the pond.
Absolutely. And the best part is this last weekend, we had a questionable late caution.
Well, these things happen.
Well, Nasser, this is what I live for, is the phantom caution.
Yes, the yellow fever, as we call it here.
Yes, exactly. Some of us call it jaundice.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Anyway, Nas, yes, it's been an outstanding week for racing, and now we're heading into Le Mans. I mean, is there anything better than the month of May and June?
No, sir. Plus, we have a Formula One race in North America, so everything is very, very good.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's been nothing but excitement here at the F1 Weekly Studios. By the way, I just want to say I had lunch with David Tapia, the famous producer, like Quincy Jones, but of podcasting. That went very well, Nas.
Wow.
Yep, and I have good news. Steve Faub has been located, and we're working on a trade to get him back to the studio, and we might have to trade you and maybe one guy from Guantanamo.
Wow, there won't be any shortage of replacements in that case.
So, yes, there's good news happening everywhere. But no, let's talk about Monaco. How exciting it really was. The practice, a little bit of rain, and then we got a qualifying, and even Schumacher is still lying in bed We get a little shoomy action. This is what it's all about, Nasser. This is excitement. We love every minute of it.
Yes, and there is always a lot of glitz and glamour around Monte Carlo.
That's for sure.
I have to say that you mentioned a little bit of shoomy action there. That got quite a press. There was a lot of talk in the press about Mercedes may have some problems in Monaco, and this could be the race where we may have a non-Mercedes winner.
And I admit, I was one of the first ones to say it. I was hoping for a little more dominance from Ferrari and Red Bull, maybe even a Lotus, and it just didn't happen. Mercedes looks like they're in full control of this season.
Yes, and you know, just when it looked like Keke's cookie was about to crumble, we have yet another case of cage rattling brewing up. After four race wins in a row, Mr. Hamilton was looking forward to what Mr. Lee Hazlewood called some velvet morning in Monte Carlo, but when the race was over, it was Nico Rosberg who was enjoying summer wine and a few other fine things that life has to offer.
And it was a beautiful thing. He's grown up in Monaco. He eats Monaco. He smells Monaco. And even though Lewis Hamilton went out and said that you cannot possibly be as hungry as moi, because I had to live in the ghetto. In the end, it was pretty exciting.
But he should be lucky it was a ghetto in England, not a ghetto in Chicago.
That's for sure. That's for sure. But still, I like how Nico, you know, he loved every second of denying Hamilton this pole.
Oh, yes, he needed this. And, you know, it's interesting that Lewis Hamilton was on such a hot roll. If there was one track he was going to dominate, apart from Canada, it was going to be Monte Carlo. And Nico just nicked him.
Yes, but let's not forget, Nico does well in Monaco.
You know, the interesting thing is he's the first back-to-back winner since your Dios, Nando.
El machismo?
Yes, sí, señor.
Wow. Miss those days. Those were the days. But it was an exciting, thrilling for me, Monaco qualifying. Of course, we had the usual culprits. And my favorite is Felipe Massa having some bad luck, not getting out of Q2. Very disappointed with both Williams Mercedes cars. They're just not living up to what we expected to see from Bottas or Massa. I'm just sort of surprised that they just haven't been able to put it together having such a strong motor.
Yeah, but the future is for the first time somewhat brighter for Williams, and I think they will come through. Maybe not to the pace of Mercedes, but hopefully they'll be knocking, hoping to get some podium finishes by the end of the season. But like you said, you know, Q1 was confirmation of the old saying, misery loves company. Last six cars were from three teams, the usual, you know, Sauber drivers. This time, both of them failed to get out of Q1, both being Esteban Gutierrez and Adrian Sutil, also the Marussia drivers and your favorite, Caterham.
Yeah, but you also have to give a lot of credit to a team called Toro Rosso, who used to be backmarkers, and look at them, consistently in the top 10 now. That's really impressive. Not only do they have a good package, but they've really, really done a great job in picking good drivers, young drivers that are hungry, and I am very impressed watching Toro Rosso out-qualify the McLarens, the Williams, the Lotuses, and the Force India occasionally. I think the story this year, and nobody's talking about it, is how well Toro Rosso and how well they're dealing with this inferior, I hate to say, Renault package.
Yes, first time you said that.
I have to say the truth sometimes, but still, I think Toro Rosso should be the talk of the town this season, because they've done an outstanding job. Because people forget, they're still based in Faenza, Italy. They are still a small team with a small budget. Maybe not that small.
Yes, and I mean, they are doing it actually as impressive or even more than Sebastian Vettel.
Well, Sebastian Vettel is just having... The problem is, see, Mark Webber, when he left the team, had a little doll. And this little doll is very similar to Sebastian Vettel, and it's got little needles in it.
Yeah, it was a dingo doll that's fighting him now.
Yes. Unfortunately, Mark Webber, I have to say, is getting the last laugh here.
Yeah, especially with having a fellow Aussie mate, sticking it to Sebastian Vettel these days.
Yes, it's an interesting state of affairs, but still, Vettel is not comfortable in the car. He's having what I call a Rubinho moment or a Sebastian Bourdais moment. I'm not comfortable in the car, and that's really not good.
It is amazing, that's for sure. But, you know, a driver that who has really impressed me, not just by performance, but also by being so comfortable in his new environment, is Daniel Kvyat.
Yes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, you don't hear him complaining about the car. No, I remember when Sebastian Bourdais was at Toro Rosso. That's all it was about. Yeah. I don't like the car. I'm not comfortable in the car. I don't like the brakes. It's just, you know, it went on and on. And you don't get this from Daniel Kvyat. Fantastic performance. Him and Eric Vergne, absolute neck and neck in performance this season. They're both doing outstanding. Toro Rosso is very impressive. And they must have built a car that is pretty pleasant to drive.
Well, you know, Jean-Éric Vergne being in his second year and being neck to neck with rookie Kvyat, I think his neck may be on the chopping block, especially the way this new, not new, but the young kid also in the Red Bull program, Senior Carlos Sainz Jr. is doing.
Yes, and of course, we're talking about Renault 3.5. He's dominating, did an outstanding job in Monaco. That's the biggest problem is, while you're struggling in Formula One, you have to look at, you know, you have three rearview mirrors, the ones on each side of the car, and then you have the one that's in your head looking at these young people that are coming up the formulas, and there's just so much talent, it's ridiculous.
Well, there's a fourth rearview mirror that's on your rear end, on your boute.
Ah, the boute!
Yeah, where the young ones are ready to kick you up.
Right, no, I agree. So, no, fantastic stuff. We've got some great young drivers. Of course, for me, Q2 was interesting. Nico Hülkenberg out-qualified by Sergio Perez. Jenson Button couldn't get out of Q2 as well. And, of course, your buddy Pastor Maldonado and Romain Grosjean both stuck in Q2 as well, including Felipe Massa.
Yeah, you know, in talking of Q3, most of the weekend, Nico was faster in Sector 1, while LCH had the edge in the middle sector. So the final sector was up for grab when it came, especially when it came to Q3. And what you mentioned, the caution gave Hamilton yellow fever. He was mourning to the media, and I quote, "I was on target. I was 2.5 tenths up and didn't get to finish it." End of quote. But, you know, these things happen. And, you know, some have questioned Nico's Q3 antics. And like you called it, Schumi style. But I have to say the stewards looked at it. And I believe Derek Warwick was the main steward there.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Nico was not given any penalty. We have to move on. But I must say that watching live on TV, it sure looked like a little Velveeta cheesy to me.
The way he was sawing at the steering wheel, it's I don't believe it. But then I didn't believe Nelson Piquet Jr. either.
Oh, I never believed that.
So you could never know what's going on in Formula One, especially when it's this competitive.
And especially on the Nelson Piquet Jr., the comment that I remember, which was made to me in person, was when I asked Frank Montani, because he used to be part of the Briatore, you know, empire. I asked him if there was any truth. He says, no, a driver would not even give up his position on the track on team's request, let alone crash a car. So, amazing how wrong we all can be.
Oh, the memories. Yeah. So that was outstanding. But anyway, an exciting qualifying, nevertheless. I was happy that Nico got pole. I'm tired of LCH on pole, and he's going to have plenty of pole later on this season.
No, I agree with you, and I feel the same way. And it's good to see some, you know, cage drive playing, reverse cage drive playing, and of course, another Mercedes front row. Red Bull's not bad for a number one driver qualified third and again outperformed his multi-world champion, who is Dr. Marco's love child and who is no longer supreme in the post-blown diffuser and current turbo power era. But Clark, I have to say this, as much people are enjoying kicking Sebastian Vettel, talented, great driver, does not hit a delete button and just lose all his talent. I think there's more to the story there. And I think Lewis and Nico need to keep an eye on that guy.
Oh, absolutely. Sebastian Vettel, the way he drove up the field in Spain, obviously the car is working a little bit better for Ricciardo. Let's just face it. It happens. It happens all the time. Ricciardo is adapted so well to this team. He's melted into this car so well. And let's not forget, Red Bull chose Ricciardo for a reason.
Yeah.
Because he's fast.
Yeah.
People forget that. So, no, I'm happy for Ricciardo. And Ricciardo is doing what he needs to do. And luckily, Vettel's having – and this is what you want. You want your teammate to have a bad year while you're at the team.
Yeah, and he's not cracking under pressure or making silly mistakes. And that is what's impressing me about Daniel Kvyat also. I mean, the kid only did GP3, never went to World Series by Renault, never went to Hapidos. So he's hanging in there.
Absolutely. And not only that, but what I like about Sebastian Vettel, he's not making faces like LCH is. I mean, that podium was ridiculous.
Well, you know, I know it's ridiculous, but I expect that from a guy who's pissed off when he does not win a race.
I don't know, Nasser. My biggest problem is I had a funny feeling that there was a little bit of cinema going on. He was trying to bring up Prost and Senna, which is this is nowhere near that kind of tension.
Not even in talent, you know, let alone.
I know. I mean, let's get real. I mean, these guys are almost trying to make their own fantasies come to life, and it's just not working. So very interesting scenarios. We heard this week that Hamilton and Rosberg are now hugging and kissing again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of hoopla in the media about their rivalry between the Brackley boys. And now they are, like you said, lovey-dovey going on. One thing is pretty much certain by now. The 2014 world champion may be a German car, but not a driver. Well, we will see how that goes. And I'm sure some of our gentry may question on the Germanness of Mercedes F1 car when it is designed and built near a Tesco supermarket. And so is the engine, which at one time used to be part of Ilmor Engineering, as in Mario Illion and Paul Morgan. So we'll see how this thing pans out. I got to say that Lewis Hamilton, man, if he does not self-destruct in a race or two and cost himself a win, this is still his world championship, in my opinion.
I completely agree. As long as he, and this is why Lewis Hamilton came out and said that he has reached out and shook hands with Nico Rosberg. He wants to make sure that the team is happy, because a happy team is a winning team. So I think you're right. It's still Hamilton's championship, because I still think that Hamilton has the edge on Nico Rosberg. Nevertheless, we saw a little crack in the eggshell, and we don't know how this is going to turn out. And I'm telling you, LCH is going to Canada thinking for sure that this is his race. And if Rosberg surprises, this crack is going to become a fissure, and it's going to get wider. So it's going to be exciting, even though I agree, Canada is definitely LCH's track.
Yeah, you're right. If Rosberg rattles his cage again, then, you know, we may have a Grand Slam omelette.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I want beans with those eggs, by the way.
Big bean, Heinz.
Thank you very much. So anyway, yes, indeed, qualifying was exciting. Nico Rosberg on pole, Lewis Hamilton, Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, and of course we had the two Ferraris right behind, and we had Toro Rosso by the name of Jean-Éric Vergne, Kevin Magnussen doing an outstanding job in Monaco, Kvyat in ninth, and Sergio Perez in 10. Fantastic Grand Prix. I was excited. I was hoping it would rain on race day, but it didn't. It was beautiful weather. It was glorious. It was the way La Côte d'Azur usually is in May.
Yeah. And I believe Lewis Hamilton has never been on pole in Monaco. I may have to double check on this.
I believe you're right.
But you know what is interesting about Monaco is that Jim Clark never won there. That I could not believe when I first got wind of it.
Yeah. Well, that was Graham Hill's track.
Yes, and Jim Clark also raced at Indy, sometime missing the Monaco, so we have to keep that in mind.
That's true. Very good point, Nasser. Keep up the good work. So there you have it. Anyway, let's go to race day. The excitement, of course, for me was Sergio Perez in the wall on the exit of Mirabeau after getting tagged by Jenson Button. Were you surprised?
Well, Mona, not really. I mean, it can happen in a tight confine like this, but I have a new name for Sergio Perez. Speedy Gonzalez from Guadalajara.
Oh, boy. Well, at least it wasn't Crashado involved in it.
Yeah, that's a pretty sad story.
I know. But it was a great start by Nico Rosberg. He got away really quickly. Of course, we had the safety car. That's just the way it is. Safety car came back in on lap three. And I like how Nico slows right down ahead of the restart. And then, woo, an outstanding job. LCH was suffering a lot. I mean, LCH was on the radio all the time complaining about this, complaining about that. And then he got, you know, mud in your eye. How did you put this all together for yourself? I mean, what do you think's going on with Lewis? When he's second, he's just not a happy camper.
Well, you know, in the movie, My Cousin Vinny, Joe Pesci got mud in his tires. In Monte Carlo, LCH got mud in his eye. And I, you know, it's interesting when things go wrong, how wrong they can go. But I still see this guy taking 10 or maybe more wins this season. And I'll tell you, if he does that, and his teammate is world champion in Abu Dhabi, thanks to the double point system, that's going to be pretty sad story. But I have to say, you know, Lewis lately has been listening to Niki Lauda, who was really, you know, a standard of professionalism and seriousness back in his days. I think he needs to hang out with him more before and after the races to stay mentally strong.
I agree. No, he's the guy to be hanging out. Yeah. Now, I want to mention that Kimi Raikkonen had a really great start, flying into third, passing Fernando and Daniel Ricciardo. And I admit, Kimi Raikkonen has had a lot of bad luck, just like he said. I agree. But you know what? This is Formula One. We're big boys. We can't blame it on bad luck. You have to make your luck in F1. So I thought that was a great start. Fernando Alonso fell to fifth. Kevin Magnussen, sixth. Jean-Éric Vergne, seventh. Kvyat, Nico Hülkenberg, and Jenson Button were the top 10. Pretty good race. I mean, you know how Monaco can be. It does get a little, how would you say it?
Way too long?
No, it's never too long because I love Monaco. I'm just sitting there thinking that I'm there, loving every minute of it. But what can you say? What are your favorite parts of this race besides Hamilton crying and Rosberg? I think Rosberg had a smile for the whole race. I mean, he led flag to finish. It was very impressive. I thought it was a great, great race.
No, I have to say, you know, if you finish second to a talent like Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, or Nando, there is no shame in finishing second to these guys. And when you can beat them fair and square as a teammate, you got what it takes to make things happen. So, yeah it's good. I mean, you know, yeah, we don't want to see one driver winning 10, 12 races in a row. It becomes very boring. But especially if you have a teammate situation like Senna, Prost, Piquet, Mansell, then, you know, sure, you go for it.
And, right.
So it was very exciting. I mean, Monaco is a great place, obviously, a lot of history, pure old European-style Formula One Grand Prix motor racing. Track has not been changed since 1926 or whenever they started. A lot of history, and it's just always a great pleasure to... I mean, it's like watching the Indy 500. There is so much history that you cannot but love the place, even if the race is boring. There is no such thing as a boring race, because when I'm watching a race, I'm thinking of how much noise there is, and that's where we have a problem this season, but we've bitched and moaned about that quite a bit now.
Yeah, you see, I haven't said anything about it anymore.
That is correct, sir. You're an officer, gentleman, and a Français.
Yeah, and I'm growing up. That's what I'm trying to do.
And that's what scares me.
I know. Sebastian Vettel, out of the race, he had a hybrid power system failure or something like that. You know, these modern cars, I have no idea what's going on, but, yeah, you know, Prius racing. Yes. Great race. Rosberg continues to lead. Lewis Hamilton's having frustration boiling over. He realizes his chance to win the race is over. Rosberg won't pit again after lap 30. It's all down to degradation. Hamilton is having a hard time dealing with, once again, the strategy at Mercedes. And Hamilton was having a hard time dealing with strategy when he was leading the Grand Prix in Spain. I mean, Hamilton's got some issues I think he needs to get over.
Yeah, he just needs to concentrate on driving. The thing is, you know, if you don't win a race, you don't have to show your frustration to the world.
Right, right.
And
I know.
And I tell you, I mean, it doesn't, you know, Bobby Rahal once said to me, we were talking about his son, Graham, when he was coming through the system. He said the confidence of a guy who has won races and championships can be shaken by small things, let alone a rookie. So, it's a poignant statement you have made if Rosberg rattles his cage in Montreal. And I think it'll be great for motorsports and Grand Prix 2014 season. But it's still a long, long season. And let's see what happens.
Yeah. Adrian Sutil crashes and we have another safety car. Safety car comes in on lap 30, and it's pretty much the same as the first safety car. Nico Rosberg does an outstanding restart and continues to lead. We had a little Kamui Kobayashi and Kimi Raikkonen collision. That was interesting. I thought the two Ks ran into each other. We had too many Ks in that corner. Kimi Raikkonen's, you know, he said it, I have bad luck, and that's just the way it is. Also, I guess really the talk of the weekend, because we know Mercedes is going to be winning every Grand Prix, was Jules Bianchi doing an outstanding job. Now, let's not forget, we did have a lot of attrition in this race. I mean, cars were going left and right. We were losing Caterhams, Force Indias. Everything was going down. And Jules Bianchi did a great race, holding on and finishing this Grand Prix in the points. The first time Marussia ever had points. It reminded me of the Jordan with Takuma Sato finishing in fourth in Japan, and it was like he won.
Yes, or Thiago Monteiro on the podium in the 2005 U.S. Grand Prix.
That was my favorite.
Yes, and his too. But, you know, talking of Marussia, this is a lucky shot for Mr. Booth. Monte Carlo, of course, big event for Marussia, which started life in Formula One as Virgin in 2010. And Mr. Bianchi, and I'm very pleased to say a longtime friend of F1 Weekly, came in ninth and gave his team their first ever championship point, which you just mentioned. This means Caterham, previously known as Lotus, is now the team which has the most starts in Formula One, that is 83, and still pointless, which may be their fate also the way things are going for them, because rumors of for sale sign were recently denied by Tony Fernandez. But frankly speaking, as much as I would like to see more teams in Formula One, I will be surprised if Caterham can survive beyond the 2015 season. The interesting thing is, going back to Marussia, they may have a Russian owner, but the man behind the team is John Booth. He used to run a team in British Junior Series by the name of Manor Motorsports, and it was he who wrote a letter to Peter Sauber many years ago saying they should test a young driver who won the British Formula Renault Championship with them. Now that little boy is quietly driving a red car and was clashing with Kamui in Monte Carlo.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. Lap 52, we have a kablamo from Toro Rosso. A lot of smoke coming out of Valens' car. He is done. Lap 57, we have a Mercedes going kablamo in Valtteri Bottas' Williams. So the attrition continued, and Jules Bianchi is moving slowly up the ladder, loving every minute of it, tasting those millions and millions of dollars that come with just a few points. Very, very, very exciting stuff. Esteban Gutierrez, more bad luck from him. He's retired in this race. Sauber really having a bad, bad year. You know, I like Sauber. They've really gone downhill. They've made some bad mistakes, and they haven't changed power units. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's a management problem. I don't think it's the drivers, but they have some serious issues. And similar to Ferrari, they need to do a reshuffle.
Well, you know, I mean, you need a lot of money, a big budget to bring in new technology, new people, do a lot of parts testing or whatever. So I think if you're running on a tight budget, it's going to be pretty tough. I don't know how much money is coming in from Telmex, but they're very, a gentleman who's been in motor racing, Formula One motor racing for almost more than three decades. Recently told me that the Telmex checks don't come as quick as their phone calls, if you know what I mean.
Right. No, but it's sad to see, you know, a couple of years ago, I mean, I remember when they were, you know, fighting for points all the time, and now they're back there with Caterham. I hate to see stuff like that. Lap 70, Lewis Hamilton asks his team to keep him up to date with the gaps. His engineer tells him that the gap to Ricciardo in third is, and then Hamilton says, "I don't care about Ricciardo. What's the gap to Nico?" I thought it was exciting. I love it. I'm telling you, I'm digging this. I think there's going to be a reality show that comes out of this where the cameras are going to be with Nico and Lewis Hamilton when they're living together, when they retire, you know, when they're 55. It's going to be great.
I think when we get down to the last 6-7 races and they are very close on points, if that is the case, I will not be surprised if they take each other out, not intentionally, but when you are racing tight and close and very competitive environment, season is winding down, things do happen.
I agree. No, it's gonna. And you know what? I'm surprised they haven't. And it shows that they are somewhat more mature than they used to be, for sure, and they've grown. But I see a taking out here and there coming up, just like Vettel and our friend Mark Webber. Lap 74, Justin Button passes Kevin Magnussen down the start-finish straight for sixth place as Lewis Hamilton and Daniel Ricciardo close in on lapping the both of them. So, yes, I thought this was a wonderful race. Rosberg finishes his race. He loves every minute of it, and he is so happy. The podium, back-to-back wins in Monaco, which is a big feat. This is very, very hard to do. People don't realize this will go down. And, of course, he tops his Papa in Grand Prix victories.
Yeah, that was very important. And, of course, both Papa and Nico live in Monte Carlo.
Correct. Yeah, it's the whole familia.
Yes.
I mean, Grandma was there.
Oh, great.
Oh, exciting. Well,
talking about Grandma, do you remember some years ago, I think it was at the German Grand Prix, where Kimi Raikkonen's grandmother was invited on her 80th birthday, and his mother was there also?
I remember that. Very touching.
Yes. It was. And Peter Windsor asked Kimi Raikkonen if he's all excited, Mom and Grandma are here. He goes, "No, because, you know, women, they talk too much."
Wow. So he says one word, and they say like two or three?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Double, you know, if you say
That's double points.
Let's talk about this gentleman who I think should have gone to Ferrari, Nico Hülkenberg. Mm. While teammate at Force India, Sergio Perez, was out on the opening lap, Hulk was fifth in the Monaco Grand Prix. Third time he has finished in this position this year. The other two occasions were Malaysia and Bahrain. And Mr. Hülkenberg, who hails from a town called Emmerich near the Dutch border, has scored a point in every race this season, grabbing 47 points, which puts him fifth in the championship. And if you want, I can give the top five in the championship with your express written consent, senor.
By all means.
Okay, so your man, Daniel Ricciardo, or Ricciardo, is fourth with 54 points. The uno and only Nando is third in the championship with 61 points. Lewis lost his lead after Monaco, now sitting in second with 118 points. Rosberg has regained championship lead with 122. The heat will be on both on and off the track in Montreal. In the Constructors' Championship, it is a starry, starry night and day for Mercedes F1 team. Winner of all races so far this season, they have amassed 240 points. Red Bull is a distant second on 99. Scuderia Ferrari is third with 78. So it's many, many sleepless nights on the gondola for Luca Montezemolo.
Oh, yes. And, of course, the new guy at the helm, I can't remember his name, is Mattiacci.
Yeah.
He has said that he's getting close to making a decision about some changes.
Yes.
So
one of them could be one of his drivers.
I don't think so.
But, you know, here is some interesting situation in regards to points so far, scored so far this season between teammates. Listen to this. This is should be on the agenda of Signor Mattiacci. Mm. Nando, 61 points. Kimi, 17. Which means Luca is again on the Connie Francis program. Who's sorry now?
You know, but it's always the same story at Ferrari.
I know.
Every year, Fernando 455, Massa 26. I mean, Fernando is the driver. Their second driver should be a new upcoming young talent.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. And the first thing they need to give everybody is a good car. Give us a good car. Yeah. Please give us a good car.
Yes. And look at this. Hulkenberg, 47 point. Perez, 20. This puts Perez on the Bobby Fuller program. I fought the law and the law won. Law in this case being the courthouse in Woking. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Ron Dennis knows what's going on.
Next on the docket, Bottas 34, Massa 18. Felipe is singing the last Lambada should last forever. A la Engelbert Humperdinck.
That's beautiful. Well, Massa will have a chain of 7-Elevens to manage when he retires.
I thought he was going to go upscale and open Wawa in Sao Paulo.
That's a good idea. He could actually do Wawa, and occasionally he could hire Baba Wawa.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Nass, that was great. I know we've got a Motorsports Mondial coming up. There was a lot of stuff going on, including the Indy 500. And you know what I was thinking?
Tell me.
I was thinking we should open up a West Wing at the Palatial Studios for the F1 Weekly Hall of Fame.
Wow. And I think the whole room will be occupied by one person, you.
Well, we've already got those statuettes being designed and carved as we speak. But no, I was going to mention people like Christopher DeHard, who has now become a journalist in motorsports, could be our first inductee.
There you go.
We're pretty proud of this young kid.
Yes, of course. What about Desiree?
Desiree? She's still serving time upstate in the penitentiary, but hey, she does good work too, right?
She's the Dalida of podcasting.
Hey, ta-dun-ta-dun-dun. I love Dalida. She's my favorite, so watch it.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, so keep up the good work, Nass. Another outstanding moment in motorsports history. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial.
Attention, Formula One fans. How would you like to have access to an all-inclusive, USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One memento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.F1FanAdvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds, and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.F1FanAdvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and who's your regards? Great day at the Indy 500. Great American victory over the Memorial Day weekend in a great American event. Mr. Ryan Hunter Ray from Florida, who worked his way through the system. I remember this kid when he was in Champ Cars. At one time, things were looking bleak for him. He stayed with Andretti Motorsports and won the Indy 500 this year after a great late race battle with Helio Castroneves, who was trying to become the fourth four-time winner at the Brickyard after A.J. Foyt, Al Unser Sr., and Rick Mears. So tremendous race. There was a red flag late in the race, which a lot of people are applauding the IMS track for doing that. So it was fantastic and just a great, great win for Ryan Hunter-Reay. Did you watch some of the Indy 500, sir?
Yes, I did watch the Indy 500. I thought the decision to put out the red flag was an interesting one, but hey, they cleaned off the track, and we can go racing.
What for is those... the racing thing going on these days with you?
I don't know, but I watched NASCAR a little bit too.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was something interesting. What was the last race in NASCAR? It was the 400?
Yeah, it's 400, 500, 600, whatever. Well, there was a race somewhere, of course.
Somewhere, but I know at the end of the, right before the end of the race, there was a phantom caution.
Yeah, and Clint Bowyer is not too thrilled about it.
Exactly. If Bowyer's not too thrilled about it, that means there's good reason for that.
Yeah. And talking of racing, have you been watching dirt races, or I don't know if it's dirt or paved oval now, at the Altamont Raceway, not too far from the Palatial Studios?
No, I don't go there, but occasionally they have the Le Mans 24 hours.
Well, you know, been quite a few years ago, 10, 12 years ago, I went there for a night of, dirt, I mean, whatever track it is, 1 mile oval, half mile oval. Anyway, they had a special truck race for ladies, and there were all these, you know, like Suzette from Sacramento and Farina from Fresno and, you know, Bernadette from San Bernardino. And Clark, I'm not making this up. This was going to be like a 10-lap race. They could not even get 2 laps. These were not even racing girls. They were just like, you know, these pit popsies or model girls. And all of them very easy on the eyes. But man, we were not even going a lap and a half of racing before two or three would crash.
Well, you know why?
Tell me.
Well, that's, you know, Jenson Button said it. It's because the boobies get in the way.
Wow. George Benson used to talk about words getting in the way. And Button is talking about boobies. Wow.
Yep. There you have it.
I think let me get back on the track.
Please.
Okay, Bambino's Blazing a Trail. World Series by Renault. This was just, this recent past weekend. Carlos Sainz Jr. won both races of the weekend at Spa, which is a very, very impressive feat. And I have a very strong feeling that because of his talent, because of his, you know, pedigree and the way he's doing, he may replace Jean-Éric Vergne at Toro Rosso in 2015. And we all know how much Dr. Marco wants to get rid of people who are not performing up to his high standards. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And don't forget that the Sainz family are very good friends with the Fernando Alonso's.
Oh, yes. Remember his papito showed me a picture of him and Nando and Nando's mother at the British Grand Prix some years ago. That was actually the day Spain was playing in South Africa in the finals, which they went on to win.
Exactly.
And I have to say, I have met and interviewed Senor Sainz and Bambino a few times. Both of them are very, very nice and easy to deal with. Always a blessing. Okay, Tom Blomqvist won a F3 race the past weekend. His papito is Stig, ex-World Rally champion in rallying, just like Sainz Sr. Then we have in England, Pietro Fittipaldi past weekend winning in Formula Renault UK. And of course, his grand papito is Emo. And before the show, you mentioned DTM is being shown in America on CBS Sports, which is very good. And they were racing in Budapest, Hungaroring. Marco Wittmann, who used to be in Formula BMW, and he's a nice kid. You know, I still retain contact with him and chit-chat with him every now and then. He won his second race in 3 starts for BMW, so that's pretty good. And then this past weekend, we had an IndyCar doubleheader in Detroit, a race promoted by Mr. Roger Penske. And his team won both the races, Will Power on Saturday and Castro Neves on Sunday. And Clark, very, very pleased to say, you know, my homie Inam Ahmed was on the podium in Spain at a town called Zuera. He is leading the European Junior Karting Championship. This is the FIA CIK approved championship ahead of Canadian Devlin DeFrancesco. So that's very exciting. And he will have a race in Sweden in a town called Kristianstad on the last weekend of July. And Moa being in ABQ for a short time, I'm having some I need a lot of motivation to convince my boss to give me time off in July. But if I can get a week furlough, Then Moa will be in south of Sweden watching Inam Ahmed winning and hopefully doing very well. So let's see what happens.
I like that, Nasser. That's very exciting. Keep up the good work. And thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And, of course, we will be following Inam's career all along the way.
All along the watchtower.
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. There you have it. Now, we have 50 words on the forum. We've got to talk about Canada and make some predictions. I know. But this is part of the show. This is part of the program. It's in the script. And I want predictions. And we don't get these very often. But it's exciting for me. The digital slings and arrows Indeed. Of a listener. You know what I'm talking about, Nasser?
Oh, yes. Well, you don't have to ask me on this one. Are you experienced?
Very good, Nas. So anyway, I'm going to go right to 50 words right now, and then we have an email to read because this man could be absolutely correct. We let you, the listeners, decide. Fair and balanced, Nasser. Fair and balanced.
Okay, Clark Kennedy.
Kehei Sin says, again, we have a Merc 1-2, but this time we have a discomfited Hamilton who looks as if the bottom has fallen out of his world. Meanwhile, Ricciardo discovers that Monaco is Monaco and catching and passing are two different things. Oh, and Marussia score at last. Leon Bray says, 73 laps without much action, except a couple of kablamos, 5 laps at the end with some excitement from Ricciardo, everyone down to 4th lapped, and it still sounds like lawnmower racing. See, some people are going to be consistent on that. Ye says, last 5 laps were great. Glad Nico won, and Danny showed he is serious. The Hulk did well, and solid drives by Fred and Jensen went largely unmentioned. Mr. Bianchi, what a way to get a team on the scoreboard. Anyone want to buy a green and yellow team? Neon Zapper, it's a good thing Lewis was crying. Otherwise, his left eye might have caused a problem with depth perception. Okay, Wraith Hump. First, we have the Iceman, Kimi. Now we have the Ice Team, Lewis and Nico. Miguel, still no sign of the RB Juggernaut. Has it turned into a rusty old dreadnought? New regulations brought us a Monaco circuit with plenty of different overtaking points. It's great to see Rascas's dignity and reputation gloriously restored. Forza Minardi, best F1 race since Spa 2008, in my opinion. It has finally happened. Points for the minnows. Great. Shame no points for Sauber and Williams. Underperformed again. I am losing patience. And no, this year is not boring. It's great. And Philip Pegler, congratulations, Nico Rosberg. Nice work. Although I'm skeptical over Saturday's botched attempt at parallel parking at Mirabeau. This was clearly enough to upset Hamilton's apple wagon. I recommend that Lewis picks up the fruit and heads over to Labatt's. He's going to be needing a drink very soon. To Nikki, Toto, and Patty, I say, let him crash. So there you have it, 50 words from the forum. I like it. Everybody's very consistent on their opinions. Absolutely outstanding. Let's talk about predictions. What do you think, Ness? What do you think could happen? Do you think Fernando could pull one out of the basket?
Well, you know, if there is a rain-affected race in Canada or some other place, we may see a non-Mercedes winner. But then, you know, LCH is very good in the rain also. Something tells me, Japan 2007, a race you may not want to remember. But continuing with the question, I think it will be very interesting if some shift of power we may see. I would love to see a first-time race winner, either Daniel Ricciardo or any deserving driver, you know, Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, no, I agree. My prediction, Nico Rosberg wins back-to-back races, and Lewis Hamilton will be unbe-pissed. And he should be happy he's unbe-pissed. There you have it, Nasser. Anyway, let's go to this email. It's from Benedict Schneider, and I believe he's in the Netherlands. Okay, and I have to admit, this was addressed to you, Nasser.
No, Benedikt Schneider is originally from Switzerland.
I was close, okay?
Yes.
Anyway, Switzerland, there you have it. Okay, it starts off, Hi, Nasser. This is a complaint to be forwarded to the Duke of Dijon. I am only humble peasant and can't address royalty directly. Why was it better to have 3 years of Vettel dominance and Red Bull dominance than what we see now? My God, we have gotten used to team dominance. The Marlboro Marcas, the Otto Pila Williams in the mid-90s, the Ferrari Schummel years, and then RBR, RBR, RBR hell in the last few years. Why now the moaning once the Mercs are up ahead? I love this season 1,000 times better than the years from 2011, to be more precise, the moment Mark Webber crashed in Korea, 2010, and threw away his title chances, to 2013, except that one lap DNF of Vettel in Abu Dhabi, or was that 2012? Mercedes deserves this year as a team. No more Newey Black Magic and Vettel who can't pass but only win from pole in a tailor-made superior machine. End of rant. Enjoy your weekend. Greetings, Benny. Obviously, Benny doesn't like Red Bull. That's all that I read in this. And to say that Vettel can't pass, I mean, come on. We've seen him pass from 15th and finish 4th in the previous race, I believe, which was Spain. Vettel is a great driver. I want to see Fernando win. And, you know, I whine a lot about that. And if anybody listens to Clark Rogers and F1 Weekly, if it's not Renault and Fernando winning, I'm pretty bummed out. Comments?
Well, for a guy who's been pretty bummed out for the last 4 years, you do come across pretty strong and happy on the web.
Well, I try to, you know. I've got people to make happy. I have children. I have a facility to run. The Palatial Studios, all the employees want to see a happy face.
Yeah, no wonder Steve Fobb is coming back.
Exactly. We're working on that trade, Nass.
That's very good.
Yep. You know how it is. So there you have it, Nass. What a great podcast. What a great show. I love it. Canada is going to be exciting. I wish I could be there. You know, we should go there together 1 year.
Yeah. And, you know, talking of going there, or any race, if any of our listeners, familia members are going to an F1 race, send us some pictures. We do get some feedback with many thanks from our listeners in Canada and the UK and Australia for their respective races. So keep us posted, please.
Absolutely. That's a really good idea. You could record a report on your iPad or whatever and send it in to us as an MP3. Of course, 50 words or less. Thank you, Nass. Keep up the good work. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.